Let's begin this next report by showing you a different side of an NPR correspondent. This is how we came to know Jamie Terabay during 2 years that she risked her life in Iraq. Here's what it sounded like to be inside a Humvee with American troops.
Pointed out a curious yellow trash can.
Hey, I found your yellow trash can. It's on the right side.
The explosion showered metal and sand into the Humvee.
That's how Jamie Terabay sounded in countless cool, precise reports, heard here on Morning Edition and other NPR programs. What we didn't realize was that in order to maintain her sanity, Jamie Terabay was turning to an unlikely savior, the fictional character Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Her obsession with Buffy began way back in her college years. It was reignited during long days under curfew in Iraq, where the show's theme was a much more welcome sound than the everyday bombing. For In Character, our series on fictional but influential people, NPR's Jamie Terabay explores why she needed the Slayer.
Maybe it was because she was so small and the rest of the world so daunting. Maybe because she just never seemed to stop. There was always more evil around the corner. The big bad, the mayor, the master, even the black-eyed Willow and the stiletto-loving Hellguard. Her choices, who to sacrifice, who to spare, were never easy in the face of relentless evil. And through it all, Buffy always managed to remind me that in the end, she was just a girl, like me.
I don't know how to live in this world, if these are the choices. If everything just gets stripped away, I don't see the point. I just wish that... I just wish my mom was here.
Who doesn't miss their mom? It was so obvious to me what Buffy Ann Summers and I had in common. She lived on the Hellmouth. I lived in Baghdad. She fought vampires with wooden stakes. And, well, I always thought most media spokesmen were real bloodsuckers. It was always go, 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 stake, 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 and no time for a girl to shop.
So, what do you guys want to do tomorrow?
Nothing strenuous.
Well, mini golf is always the first thing that comes to mind.
I think we can do better than that.
I was thinking about shopping, as per usual.
Ah, there's an R&B in the new mall.
I could use a few items.
Well, now we can discuss this. Save the world, go to the mall.
I'm having a wicked shoe craving.
Okay, the backstory. Buffy the series begins with her at age 16 moving to Sunnydale, somewhere in California, which sits above what is literally the mouth to hell. She's the chosen one, the Slayer, endowed with insane amounts of strength and the ability to mow down vampires and demons alike. That's a lot of pressure for a teenager.
I'm putting my life on the line battling the undead. Look, I broke a nail, okay? I'm wearing a press on. The least you could do is exhibit some casual interest. You could go,
That pressure was something I could understand. Buffy took a deep breath before going into what was often the fight of her life. Every time I got into our bulletproof car to drive around Baghdad, so did I. And on days I was stuck in the bureau, I'd sit in my room and put on another DVD. I'd watch Buffy grow up and try to figure things out. To me, it was more than therapy. When she asks Giles, her watcher and mentor, for answers about life's most vexing questions, it was almost like she was asking them for me.
Does it get easy?
What do you want me to say?
Lie to me.
Yes, it's terribly simple.
The good guys are always stalwart and true. The bad guys are easily distinguished by their pointy horns or black hats. And we always defeat them and save the day. No one ever dies and... everybody lives happily ever after.
Liar.
The more time I spent in Iraq, the less I felt I knew. Who were the bad guys? The lines were always blurred. As strange as it may seem, it helped that Buffy, a fictional character, had that issue too. Like in the end of season 2, when she had to kill the love of her life, who went bad after they slept together and lost his soul, but then regained it just at that crucial moment when he had to die. Sometimes, seeing the bad isn't something you want to share. I completely understood the moments she shut down and shut her friends out. There are close calls I've had my parents still don't know about. It can be a very lonesome gig.
I guess everyone's alone. But being a Slayer, there's a burden we can't share.
And no one else can feel it.
Buffy's creator, Joss Whedon, gave his blonde destroyer a quick wit, friends who kept up with her, and the wardrobe I would die for, especially in Baghdad where I couldn't wear anything cute. And he killed her twice already.
You're dead.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty. Which is more than I can say for you.
You were destined to die. It was written.
What can I say? I've flunked the written.
What made Buffy my superhero was that she wasn't perfect. Like me, she made a lot of mistakes and learned a lot of hard lessons. Add to that the daily life and death factor, the sheer nerve I needed to work in the hostile area. Watching her deal with her own private war zone helped me deal with mine. I found support from people I was supposed to be competing against, other news junkies. Buffy got hers from someone she should have staked long ago, bad old Spike, the reformed vampire.
I've seen the best and the worst of you, and I understand with perfect clarity exactly what you are. You're a hell of a woman. You're the one, Buffy.
I don't want to be the one.
Sometimes, neither did I. But if she could get through her big bad scary world okay, then just maybe I could too. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News.